Okay. Thanks for allowing us to be here this morning. Several of you have been to our shop, help us put together some scriptures and different assemblies, and we appreciate that. There's a lot of churches in the area that come and help us, and that's how we're able to help our ministry go forward. And I would say within last 2 years, 2.5 years, we've increased by about 300% the production that has gone out the door. And that's just been a blessing, and we're remodeling and tearing walls down and making more space and getting ready. Tim actually met with the architects to look at putting up a steel warehouse building, and that's taking a lot of faith. Whether or not to do a 50 by 100 building or a 100 by 100 or 50 by 50, you know, the faith to know exactly what we need for the ministry. And the Lord's going to have to provide the money, because it's not going to be cheap. Anybody that's done construction or remodeling on their home, or even repairs on your car, I mean, it's not cheap anymore to do anything. But the Lord, our God, owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he's able to get the stuff that we need and provide everything so far. The new-to-us equipment, the remodeling of the building has all been paid for and provided, that we are not going into any debt to do anything at this point. So we're thankful for that. It's faithful people giving, plus when you donate your time, that saves us a lot of cost in that aspect as well. They said my name, Joe Pagano. My wife is Jendy, on the front row. We have 3 children. A lot of people ask about that, but they are all grown. Our youngest, the one that's going to Italy for a missions trip, just graduated this year. And our other 2 are in college and around. And the Lord kind of called us into full-time ministry right as they were going out of the house. And we didn't want a burden, so that's why you only see image of us. We didn't want them to look back and be like, oh, we look so terrible in the family photo. You know. Okay, I see there's a bunch of teenage girls here. So they never like their photo. Oh, I look horrible. I look like a potato. Can we redo this 20 million times? It's like, let's just get the picture over with. So I've learned to just be like, oh, I look stupid. That's normal. That's okay. Send the picture off if you guys like it. Whatever you like, you guys take the picture and go with it. So family photos are a lot of fun, but we have one down there that kind of shows everybody. They're all, our son is looking at possibly going into full-time ministry with in a church somewhere. Not sure what at this point what it'll be, but maybe youth ministry somewhere along that line. Our other daughter is looking at child development care. She very, very much likes small children, and she's very capable with them and learning how to deal with disabilities and different things. She likes that aspect. And our other one, we're praying that the Lord directs her life at this point. She's graduating, has got Puerto Rico under her belt. She got 2 weeks of that out of the way. And then she is going to Italy, so we're praying the Lord will work in her heart and life to let her, give her direction. But they're all not discouraged by ministry, thinking about possibly using their skills and everything in their future. So we're thankful for that. But we are very much blessed to be a part of Bearing Precious Seed. It's exciting to do that. He was asking me about a scripture to read, and I couldn't help but think of putting that in there in Psalm 126:6, as it talked about bearing precious seed, and that's just very encouraging. All right, so I will, my wife did want to mention, if you want to see some of yourselves in video, if you want to see how bad we made you look, you know, or my wife will make you look really good in video, but I'm sure not everybody will approve. It's through YouTube, Bearing Precious. Yeah, YouTube. If you go to YouTube, look up BPS Oshkosh. They're publicly listed, but they're not advertised, so you kind of have to go directly there to see the video, so we didn't want to randomly. So if you want to see different videos and things that are going on, our presentations are there, the update video, Puerto Rico videos there, and then we recently are working on one. We have it out there, probably might get changed a little bit, just introducing people to the shop and what goes on and what they have to do. So if you have somebody that may be new, thinking about coming on July 28th to visit us, if they're like, well, what all do you really do? You could take them there and show them that video, takes you step by step of putting the books together, stapling, trimming, and then the other machines that are there that's available. And it's just, yeah, everything's just taken off. It's amazing how much the Lord's using the ministry. And as Tim likes to say, God wants his word around the world more than we do. And that's just a testament to where I am in ministry, that the Lord would take me and allow me to be a part of this ministry to serve him. And I just, I don't know. Best illustration I have is another missionary in a church talks about when things are going and moving along. He's like hanging on the back of a freight train. It's just going to keep going. Everybody knows you can't stop a train. It does not stop on a dime. It takes a long time. And when it goes, it's going to take anything it's behind it as far as it can. And that's what's happening. I feel like being a part of the ministry, the Lord, the doors are open. The scripture to go out is, there's places. Malawi right now is the open door. And I did not bring that book up, but the show that we'll be putting together. We have it on the back table. But in Malawi, the doors are wide open. They have 3 container loads there that you might have helped put some of those together. It would have been a few months ago. And the door's wide open. They have 3 container loads over there that are almost empty at 40,000 pounds of scripture apiece, varying in types of scripture. We're trying to do at least 2 more containers for them. This is a bilingual English Chichewe language, John Romans. So when you come on July 28th, unless we have a lot of groups between now and then, you'll be working on these. We're going to do, we have 100,000 of these on site to put together. We're probably only, probably about 10,000 into them right now. So there's quite a few yet to do. We'll be doing that. And it's just, as the doors are open to get God's word out, we're taking advantage of it. And with the way the Lord's been working that, it's just amazing. And that's why I was going from the illustration, hanging on the back of a freight train. The Lord just wants the train loads of the scriptures to go out. And we are trying hard to trust the Lord to provide financially and the materials. A lot of organizations, a lot of people just generously give of their time, their money. And then prayers, of course, are just as important in our opinion. When we're on the road and traveling, we have faithful folks that are praying for us, that take our prayer cards and remember us. We can tell because there's quite a few miles that we're going to end up traveling over the next few more years. We've already put a lot on. And you can just tell that God, somebody's praying for you, because in a split second, a lot of things can happen. The cars can break down. There's accidents that happen just ahead of you or just behind you. And things flying off of vehicles, hitting the windshield that didn't crack or break the windshield. I mean, there's just a lot of stories you can talk about when you're traveling for hours and hours and thousands of miles, how much the Lord blesses. Plus, just knowing that we are taken care of, having food on the table, having the ministry provided for. It's neat to see God's work, and I know that's through a lot of prayer also. So a little bit of introduction about us. Feel free afterwards to stop and ask us questions at the table and browse through some of the scripture. I'll try to explain some. We are only been with the ministry a little over 2 years, so we're still new to it and learning where everything has gone and where it is going. But the current projects we're definitely up to date on, and we're thankful for that. As we had read from Psalm 126:6, I'll just kind of reiterate that, and then I'll open with a word of prayer. It says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you for so much to this faithful church in attendance today. I pray you would bless your word as it goes forth today. I pray you to just allow your spirit to work through me, help me to the flesh to get out of the way, and to allow your word to do its work. I ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about bearing precious seed, the title. As we talked about, a lot of other ministries out there have the same name, and there's several of them. You may come across them in travels, different ministries going forth, but bearing precious seed. And as this morning, the Sunday school, I gave a real quick synopsis of a message, and how much God's word differentiates between our spiritual and our physical life. It relates a lot of important things to us keeping our body alive, keeping us alive. Most of us, I'm sure, enjoy to have food, right? Everybody. I heard somebody talking about brisket out there earlier, smoking brisket or whatever. I recently just joined the Real Man Club. I was able to pick off Marketplace a really inexpensive, new-to-me smoker. So I'm joining the club of actually going to be able to enjoy some real meat. I don't know how many people have that ability or had that to do that, and they're not cheap, obviously, but the Lord provided the one for me, and a guy was very gracious to give me a good deal on it. I think about that. We do need to nourish. We need to nourish your body. It talks about the water of life. It talks about the bread of life. It talks how much we need to keep our body alive. And I like to think about bearing precious seed. Of course, to grow, to make bread, to do that, you have to have a seed. You have to plant something in the ground to allow that to grow and come to fruition so you can harvest it and then create the other things. I don't know what the favorite food here might be, fruits, vegetables. Saw a sign down here, an asparagus farmer, as we were coming across this way. And my wife likes asparagus. Not so much on asparagus, but anyways. She makes me eat it every now and then. But I don't know, there's corn, there's potatoes, there's a lot of other things you can grow, you can have to nourish your body. But as it talks about God having his precious seed, his word is the precious part. I want to break down the three words, bearing and precious and seed, and just take a little chance to look at that. And it made me, being a part of the ministry, we get asked a lot of questions. And I was kind of, a lot of them are, well, I know this bearing precious seed. I know that bearing precious seed. And I'm like, okay, well, we have the same name. We have the same goal of getting God's word around, but it was taken from one man. But okay, let's understand this a little more. And I'm like, well, why would I choose bearing precious seed as a ministry? I kind of wanted to put it in my shoes so I could share it. That's kind of what I'd like to look at today. If we look at Matthew 11 and verses 28 to 30, I want to look at bearing, the first word, real simple. If you think about bearing, I don't know if there's any mechanical people in here or not. I'm a little bit of a maintenance repair guy, worked on my own vehicles thing. So right away, first term thing comes to mind with a bearing is something that reduces friction along that line. This is an older word of bearing, though, of carrying a burden, carrying a load of some sort. And that's why the bearing, I guess maybe that's how it's got its name, is because it made it easier. It reduces the stress and the burden there. So 11:28 to 30 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God can help us with any burden we might have. A lot of times when we think about bearing something, it's a burden. It's maybe a trial, a struggle, a health issue. I know some of the prayer requests that were shared here earlier. A lot of times that's what we think of right away. We're bearing something that is troublesome or cumbersome to us. But God's word right away tells us in that aspect that he will help us through that. He will help us bear that burden, whatever it may be. Take yoke upon him. And I'm not a farmer by any means. I've been around farms. I don't know all the technicalities to it. But you look at history and the yoke where it talks about having equally yoked oxen in a cart pulling together. I really feel with the Lord, it's not an equal yoke by any means. He can definitely pull the whole load, but he at least wants us to do our part. He wants us to at least hold up the other end of the yoke. And that's not near as heavy as pulling that load, in my opinion. God wants to work with us and not make us carry the work on our own, carry the burden on our own. If we constantly think about maybe a struggle that we have, we go to the Lord in prayer, ask him for help with that. The other thing we can turn to is the scriptures. And we can look in the Bible and we can read and learn more about maybe what the struggle is to give us a comfort through that. As it says in Psalm 199 and 105, I'll turn there briefly, Psalm 199. That's not such thing, 199. I think it's 10, I can't remember now. I typed that one wrong. Is it 109? Or no, it would be 1. Sorry about that. So it's 119:105, sorry. Must have accidentally auto-corrected my note on my own. Psalm 119:105. Some of you might have this memorized. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." As we talk about bearing a burden, bearing something, but God wants us to bear his precious seed. He wants us to bear his word. He wants us to carry that with us. Not let the cares of the world, let the trials of the world, struggles that we might have burden us. He wants us to be constantly looking in his word to help. He wants us to be able to give his word to others, to be able to share it. And as I talked about the memorization, maybe you have this verse memorized. There's a lot of scripture. As I had mentioned before, I'm blessed to grow up in a pastor's home. I grew up in church, so I have a lot of scripture. Sometimes I don't even remember the verses and references, but the minute somebody starts saying them, they come to mind. It's there. It's been put in my head and my heart as a little child, and they may share something, and then right away a verse will pop into my mind. And it's so refreshing when that happens, to know that God is with you, his word is with you to help you through these times and these trials. And so I just want to take a moment and think about that. The bearing, what are we bearing? Are we focused more on the burdens or the cares or the troubles we're having? Or are we more focused on carrying God's word to share with others? And then the second word talks about precious. There's a lot of things in this life that may be precious to you. Psalm 49 and verse 8 lets us know what should be precious to us. I do have a few references here to turn. You're welcome to turn or not. When I get there, I will read them. I actually print out the verses a little bit, a little confession here, because my Bible's a little too small a print, and I'd have to wear my glasses, and I'd be up here playing with my glasses and distracting myself and you. But I print them out, but I still like to turn into the Bible to let you know that it's coming from God's Word. Psalm 49 and verse 8, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. I just want to ask, maybe, what is precious to you? Is it a material thing? We get asked a lot, why did we move to Wisconsin? We grew up in Hershey, Pennsylvania area, kind of on the East Coast. So if you notice, I probably have a little bit of an accent. I don't think so. I think I speak fairly normal. And so that's usually the first thing that comes up. You're not from around here. No, we grew up in Pennsylvania. Oh, why'd you move to Wisconsin? The Lord called us into ministry to be a part of it. And that's just a hard detail, but it does give you an opportunity to at least share about God's word, about working in a ministry that is giving Bibles away around the world so that people can come to know him. And it's an opportunity. Some people receive that encouraging, like, wow, that's amazing you would do that. You would give your time, you would give your efforts to help that. And other people just like, you're really crazy. Why did you move to Pennsylvania? They're still stuck on. Why did you move from the southern tier, a little bit southern tier, and come a little bit north? The material things that are here. And then some people then are asking us from home, well, what's Wisconsin like? It's different. Well, I know around Oshkosh, I haven't figured it out during Air Adventure if there's more boats or airplanes. There is a lot out there. And I get it. There's a lot of water. You guys have the opportunity to do a lot of fishing. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with material things, I think, in any way. But how much time do some of these people spend on a boat? Some mornings, this morning we left fairly early to come out this way, and there were already people out on the river fishing, ready, and it's just out there. Is that what's important, to get up early and go fishing, or is it more important to get up early and go to church and take care of that, and then maybe you can go fishing a little bit later? Having a nice boat, having a nice car, having a nice house is not a problem. I don't think there's anything wrong in those aspects, but how much time and effort do we put into those things? How much time do we spend worrying about making them nice or having the latest gadget, technology, having a new car every year? There's just a lot of things that the world wants us to put the emphasis on in our daily life of having nice things, having. And like I said, there's no problem with that. If you're able to do that, you're able to have it, that's great. The Lord gives me nice things too, but like I just got a nice, new-to-me grill, and it works well. It's nice. It's not brand new. I don't want to spend the $800 or $900 for a new one. I don't think, in my opinion, it's not worth that. But he gave me something nice that I am enjoying, being able to cook, being able to grill again. So the Lord can give you material things. He can provide for you that way. But how much focus do we put on that? And that's, I, it sits in the garage, and I pull it out when I want to use it, put it back, and we move on. I'll try to take care of it because he gave it to me. But our material things, the world, I don't know why we're so materialistic here in the United States, and how much it's put on for sales and things. But in Matthew 6 and verse 19 to 21, it clearly states where our emphasis should be. It talks about the precious is the soul. In Psalm, it talked about it. What should be precious to us should be soul, the souls of others, not the material things, not diamonds, not gold, not gems, whatever may come up. But in Matthew 6, 19 to 21, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." We spent a little bit of time in upstate New York in the ministry. Then we moved to Wisconsin. It's kind of a lateral move. You both get fair amounts of snow. Your winters are pretty heavy. So right away when I think of rust, I think of our poor vehicles, how much they go through the salt and the grime of the winter and rot out and corrode. And that's why people, if they have a car that they like, a collector car, they'll try to keep it in the garage. They'll try not to drive it on a rainy day or over winter, especially when they brine the roads and the moisture, that will destroy the undercarriage of a vehicle very quickly, plus the fenders. The rust will eventually take over any metal object, especially once it gets lacked for in care. And that's what the Bible's trying to warn us of. Yeah, you can spend up to a million or more dollars on something, a vehicle, something made out of metal, and eventually it's going to corrode. It's going to rust away. It's going to deteriorate. Also, for clothes, it talks about the moth eating clothes. I know we don't have that as much as in this day and age because a lot of our clothes have synthetic fibers. So it may not be as attractive to the insects that eat them. But it talks about we can spend a lot of money on those type of things, and it's just going to eventually fade away. But we can put our time and our money into a ministry, into an effort, into a work that won't fade away. God's word won't fade away. And reach the souls. The most precious thing in God's eyes is the souls. Why else would he send his son to die on the cross for us? He only had one son. Why would he allow him to go through all that torture, all that agony, all that pain, if he didn't truly love the souls, love the hearts of other people? If we think about laying our treasure where our heart will be also, and this is a constant struggle for me, and that's why I share this. Where your treasure is. When I'm working in the ministry, I'm helping and I'm doing different things, it's very easy to get distracted and try to figure out where I'm going to get the next thing or where I'm going to come up with the next amount of money to take care of things. But I really, really enjoy when I can just go into the shop and do the work that needs to be done. Have a chance to fellowship with a group that comes down, like you folks, when you come down to visit. In fellowship with you, learn about your experiences, learn what you do for a living, and show you how to do different things in the shop. It's an encouragement. It's fun. It's exciting. We have groups coming all the time. And when I can do that, and when I can focus on that, the Lord blesses in many ways. He takes care of the other things unexplainably, and it doesn't make sense to man when you try to explain to them how things are working. But if we take the time and focus on what should be what's precious to God, God will also help us with our ministry, with what's precious to us, taking care of our family, being able to take care of and provide for them. God's word is definitely the most precious thing we can share to someone else. And I'm so thankful to be a part of the ministry that does that. And then the last word we have here is the seed. And as I had reiterated, I'm not a farmer. I can't give you all the technicalities about seed and the different things. There's probably some folks in here that have worked on farms or have farms and would be able to explain better on a seed. But we can't grow something without a seed, right? I mean, it has to start from something small to go forth. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10 kind of tells us what we need to do with God's word as a seed. I can find it here. 9 and verse 10. It says, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." And that's, when I compare, look at bearing precious seed, and I look at this verse, I believe this is the true heart of the ministry, is being able to give this seed to the sower. As we've shared on our table, we have the printed newsletter. You can also sign up for it, and we can email it to you. But it has some images in there of Malawi, Africa, of a missionary handing out the Bibles to the police officers and the government officials in that area. He's reached a couple thousand now. I don't remember the exact detail on giving them Bibles. And one, as I shared this morning, one police director said there's 16,000 or 17,000 officers in his district. And if we were to give them all a Bible, that would be almost two containers of Bible. You can get about 10,000 English whole Bibles in a container with a few other. That would be two containers just to reach just those individuals that have a high position. But they are so thankful that somebody is loving them and concerned enough with them. The police force over there are looked down upon drastically. It's like any other country. There is corruption in the government, in the field, and of course, authority. Nobody wants to abide by the authority. So they disrespect them constantly and make it harder and difficult for them to do their job. And one officer shared, if we could give this Bible to everyone in our town and in our village, in our area, our job would be a lot easier. She knew that right from the get-go. Having God's word into the hands of all the individuals of that town and that community would change their lives, would change why they have to be the officers, why the rule enforcement would be easier, and how true that would be. And the world always wants to talk about peace and everybody getting along and living together in harmony, all that stuff that they go about. Well, there's one way we can do that, and that's through God's word. But unfortunately, we're against odds with the devil and his forces. It's a constant battle and struggle with that. And that's why God gave us his word, gave us his seed to help us fight those battles and to help reach the other people that need his word and need to come to salvation. I want to look at Luke 8:11 as it flat out, this is a real short verse. And also, we talk about bearing precious seed. Well, what is the seed? Luke 8:11 makes it real simple, as it talks about the parable of the seed and the sower. The seed is the word of God, as it says, Luke 8:11. The parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Real short verse, real simple. So are we taking God's word? Are we bearing his seed? There's a lot of seed in a book, in a whole Bible. There's a lot there. There's also enough seed in a John and Romans, as we talked about this morning, in just even the book of Romans. And there's enough seed in there to change a life, to change a soul, to get their heart in the direction, to help them realize that they're a sinner on their way to hell, that they can know the Lord through that. They can do that just through one book and a few verses out of that book. If we can think about what is important to us, or how much, just with those three words, if we're bearing a burden, if that's constantly the distraction in our life of struggling to get through life to do that, and then if we're making all the other things, the material things, is what's precious in our sight, and then the seed, if we're only worried about planting the seeds for our financial retirement, for our kids' college, for whatever that might be, which I'm not saying any of that is bad by any means, but if that's our constant focus, then we're not doing what God wants us to do. He wants us to be bearing his precious seed. He wants us to be studying the Bible, reading the Bible, so we have the seed in our hearts, in our lives, to share with others. As we, and it's precious to him because he gave his son's life so that we can have that opportunity to share with that. I think about, it's not a Memorial Day message by any means, but we do have a freedom here in this country to do that. We have the freedom to have a print shop because we have people that believed in the Bible and were willing to sacrifice their lives to be separated from the oppressive governments. And we have that ability now, and to do that, to work through that. It's just a little acknowledgement for, you know, the people that have served, that have given their lives so we can stay free. And they're also over there fighting. There's people fighting and giving their lives overseas for God's word also. We have missionaries that, if they go into the Middle East with a Bible, there was a share this morning that the whole family got locked up in Korea for having a Bible in their home, even the two-year-old. And how oppressive that is, how horrifying it is, but we have the freedom here in America to not worry about that. But we're able to take God's word and send it around the world. And then I want to look at one more verse, Acts chapter 6. And let's see here. Chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And we look at the open door here in Malawi, and remind me a little bit when you think about Jerusalem. When the believers first met in Jerusalem, they were sharing God's word. They were studying the Bible. They were regularly attending services and being active, and they abounded in number. The same thing, I believe, can happen in Malawi as we get these scriptures out, as we give this out. The seed is sown, and of course, if you sow one kernel of corn, you'll get a stalk of corn. It can possibly 1 or 2 years, I believe that's what it is. But on there, you have how many hundreds of seeds on that? So the same thing can happen as we spread God's word. Sometimes the seed's not going to grow, it's not going to be able to mature, but we're going to be able to sow and we're going to be able to reap, and that'll be spread on. And a lot of times they do give them more than just one copy. They'll give them a copy to give to somebody else. And that's how it gets spread even more and more. I have 5 friends. Can I have 5 of those? And you give them to them and they hand them out. God's word can be spread. It can be increased in that way, be sown. So just like in Jerusalem, we are seeing the demand for scripture increase. We are thankful for churches like you that help us in our ministry, assembling scriptures so we can spread them around the world. We also are fortunate to hear some stories from missionaries on how much of an impact they have. I was able to share a couple of those with you. And if you could please remember to pray for our ministry and consider maybe coming out to visit us on July 28th. You have a group scheduled to come and attend. We'll have plenty of work for you. And we are so thankful for volunteers that come out and help in our ministry. But even though it's important, assembling God's word and giving God's word, or and making God's word, it's also important to share God's word. So I ask you to, if you could be willing to spread God's word and share his precious seed. That's what I have. Should I close in prayer? Or are you gonna? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. I thank you for your precious word and the freedom we have a copy of it, to have several copies of it. And I pray we wouldn't be discouraged by your word and sharing it with others and be willing to participate in assembling it and giving it to others. I pray you would just burden our hearts, Lord, to be more concerned about you and your word. I pray you'd bless this day and this time. And as people be heading home in a little while, that you would give us safety on the roads. And also for this weekend, we're able to celebrate, maybe relax a little bit. And I thank you again for that. In Jesus' name, amen.